The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts. The temple is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism.
So already well into the heart of our training period, our coming and going sesshin. And as we enter into this land of exploration, this land of darkness and light, each one of us doing our best to turn our attention to what is right here. It is always quite an undertaking, and my gratitude to our Shuso, Alan, Tenzo, Registrar Jenny, and so many people that have worked and are working, each one of you doing whatever jobs need to be done at the temple, and also each one of you coming and putting your butt on the cushion, on the chair, and having at it in this world that is indeed on fire, in this precious and fragile world where so much is always hanging in the balance, but seems particularly so now. I think the work of women and men throughout the centuries who have come into these rooms of silence and stillness and meditated and prayed and done whatever practices have made sense to them, that this is of incredible significance and so important for those of us who are called to do this. I don't think this will ever go mainstream, and if it does go mainstream, I will be very concerned, because it's not something like that. It's something wilder and harder and more wonderful and less contained. And so we're looking into these Lojong teachings, the 7 points and 59 slogans, and this evening I'd like to say a few words about number 5, which is in the point 2, train in empathy and compassion. The last one we're going to talk about in the absolute compassion. We've been looking into this realm of absolute compassion, absolute bodhicitta, this realm of basic friendliness, we might say, and looking into it in many different ways. But this particular slogan, the entry point, is rest in the openness of mind. Or rest in the nature of alaya, the essence. But one of the wonderful things about these teachings is they keep flipping us back and forth. So this one actually comes after what Melissa spoke about the other day. Don't get stuck on peace. So it says, don't get stuck on peace. Then the next one is rest in the openness of mind. We can begin to wonder what we're supposed to do. Well, do you want me to do this or do that? But all of these are designed as a training in compassion. None of these entry points are the final point. So rest in the openness of mind. Quite a wonderful entry point. And I do love Norman Fisher's translation. Norman is also a poet, and I think part of the delight of his book, Training in Compassion, that we're using as our main text is just his careful use of language. So he's translated the alaya, the essence, into openness of mind. And alaya is actually a Buddhist term, first, I think, developed in the Yogacara school, maybe the second or third century. And they had quite a wonderful model that has been quite influential in the Tibetan Buddhism of the eight consciousnesses, that there are eight levels of consciousness, and the first five are the senses, the eye, ear, nose, tongue, body. The sixth level is the mind, is thinking. And in Buddhist psychology, the mind is often, this mind, as we're referring to it, the small mind, is seen as one of the senses, like the nose smells things, the brain thinks things. So there are these six senses, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, mind. And then the seventh level, the seventh consciousness, is the sometimes called the deluded awareness. It's the mind that puts things together and makes stories. Trungpa says the literal translation of the Tibetan word for this seventh consciousness is the nuisance mind. And I read that and smiled. We all know this nuisance mind, this mind that is always causing trouble. And we were speaking this morning of how certain this mind is of its perspective. And so we put two and two together and we get potato soup. And then we defend potato soup because clearly two and two make potato soup. How could you think it's lentil soup? And we human beings cause much trouble to ourselves. And but this is the mind we have. And we often say here, we should be grateful. You should be grateful for this nuisance mind. The mind that makes associations is the mind that lets you be here. So you could put this on your calendar and do what you needed to do to get here so we could all come here and so that indeed there is soup in the evening for us because someone has thought to plan. But this seventh consciousness, we can get stuck in it and it is so self-righteous. And then the eighth consciousness is this alaya consciousness. It's sometimes called the storehouse consciousness or basic goodness. It is, we might say, the creative unconscious. But it is this level of awareness out of which our thinking awareness comes. So we might say this is the source world, this alaya consciousness. And so Norman Fisher translates that into this quality of openness. So we're all familiar with the closed quality of mind as it's trying to think things and figure things out and am I a good person or an idiot? Is this worthwhile or is this foolish? It just wants to have things clear. And this resting in the open mind, resting in this nature of alaya, resting in the openness of mind, is turning us toward this other quality of mind that is always here. even when we are lost in our thoughts and opinion, these thoughts and opinions, in a sense, are coming out of this ground. And we can begin to experiment. And it is experiment. This, again, is not believing in something, but seeing what happens. All of these slogans are, in a sense, they're scientific experiments to see what happens when we head this direction or head that direction. And this is this direction is about rest. Sometimes we say the this practice of Zen, this practice of liberation, is about leaving home. And Zen monks are often called home leavers. And we do indeed have to leave the home of the familiar world we have constructed. But we leave home in order to find our true home. And as Hakuin said in his song of Zazen, this very place is the lotus land. This very place is our true home. And all of us here, in some way, are hard workers, or we wouldn't take up this path. Zen indeed requires a kind of determination and fierceness to take ourselves in hand and sit ourselves down and hold still and bear ourselves. That quality so important, but this quality of resting. I told a friend once the problem with Zen is that then even doing nothing becomes hard work. So we all are here working hard not to do something else. But is it possible, or how is it when we simply rest, where we don't have to figure something out, we don't have to progress? If we move into this aspect of practice that it is already here. This absolute bodhicitta, this essence of life is already here. We are this. We are come out of this, are held in this, are not separate from this. So can we rest as we sit here? Can we give up our great dreams of Zen? Because Zen can become such a burden, and another thing we have to prove ourselves in, and another object of the ego. And this slogan is encouraging us, and I encourage us this evening to do nothing. Alan suggested in a lovely Dharma talk in a Rohatsu Sesshin that actually the Buddha was a failure. He was a failure at being a prince. He was a failure at being a father. He was a failure at these esoteric practices he tried. And finally he sat down under the Bo tree, not in great triumph, but having totally given up. He had realized that he could not do this. And so maybe like him this evening, each one of us can give up and rest in this wondrous functioning of life. This bodhicitta, this whatever we call it, to rest in it, and trusting the breath, trusting the posture. Not something fancy, not something to be accomplished, but to to let yourself be at home, to snuggle in and appreciate this wonderful evening together.